Boy, before we stand for the reading of the scripture, I want to say a couple of things. Good to have a good friend of mine here, and we've been friends for 45 years, as Brother Loren said, and he never heard me preach, so good to have him and his grandson Jonathan. So he said he may not talk to me after this, but that's all right. I can understand that. No, it's good to have him. And, you know, I want to just say something. It's been a blessing to come to this church and to visit, and don't want to say too much, just to see a church and a pastor that's still standing by the stuff. We see over the, you could travel the United States, and I haven't, but I've talked to missionaries and been visiting around some and seeing, and you know what? It's not, the church isn't just the pastor, and the pastor isn't just the church. It takes both. And you know, this church, to see a grounded, solid church is just a thrill these days. And to see a pastor who's willing to stand by the stuff. I'm an old guy. You see the gray hair somewhere up here. You've seen a lot of things come and go. And brother, I'm just glad you're here. Let's stand. I want to turn to an easy-to-find scripture, Genesis chapter 1. And we'll begin reading there in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament, that's a little bit hard to say, under the firmament, tongue twister there, from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called it a firmament, now got stuck on it, heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose fruit is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the water and the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let there them be for the lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the sea and the fowl multitude in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and came after their kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree. Notice that he says he's given them of every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Father, we do pray that you'd guide in your, just bless your word tonight. Lord, forgive us where we've fallen short. And Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit can speak through just about anyone. So Lord, we just pray that you'd use us tonight, touch each heart and move in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Appreciate you standing. I know that was a lot of reading, but I want to use the first three chapters, but I don't think you want to stand for all three chapters. So we'll stop there. There's three things I want us to notice tonight in the book of Genesis there in the very beginning. Is the first thing that we see tonight is that it talks about, it introduces us to God. I had a short tenure at Bible college, and one of the things I learned there and I heard for the first time, I got saved when I was 17 years old. I got saved on February 1970. I love to talk about being saved. I love to remember when I got saved. I couldn't wait until I got to be 34 years old, and my family goes, oh no, he's going to tell that again. But when I got to be 34 years old, I'd been saved twice, as long as I'd been lost. And then I got, now I can't do the math, 51 years old. My wife has to do the math for me. 51 years old, and I'd been saved twice as long as I've been lost. Now we'll stop there. But I don't want to stop there. I want to go on and get a little older. But anyway, as we got saved and had been raised in a church that didn't teach a lot of doctrine, didn't teach the Bible, I went to church from the time I was tiny till the time I was 12, 13 years old. And my folks decided that you make up your own mind. And by the way, I don't know how many people I've visited with, and they say, well, we don't make our kid go to church. We're going to let them make their own decision. Let me tell you something. The 13-year-old kid doesn't have enough sense to make the right decision.
That's right.
We have a responsibility and we need to tell them what they're going to do and teach them and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But anyway, after I got, I can remember one time in those 13 years being convicted in that church. One time. You know, I heard the gospel and I sat on an old pew. We didn't have air conditioning. The sun was coming in the window. I was sitting back about over there, and I remember sitting there thinking, they had an invitation, and I thought, you know, I need to get saved, and I didn't. I was 7, 8 years old. And there's many years later, I can remember then when I was in elementary school, sixth grader, and I was 11 years old. And I stood out on the corner by the school, and I thought, I don't have to be saved yet, because this church I went to taught that you didn't have to be saved until you're 12 years old. Age of accountability. Well, we know that's not true, because I was convicted at the age of 6 years old and didn't get saved. I was convicted at the age of 11. By the time I was 17, I got saved, and I'm so thankful that God saved me. But I didn't know much about God. Went off to Bible school before I'd been saved a year. And one of the teachers said there, they taught this beginning of creation. And he said, you know what? The Bible doesn't explain God. It just says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All we need to know is that it was God that did it. Now, there's a lot of things the Bible expresses down the way. But in the beginning, all I needed to know was that God created the heavens and the earth. And so I want to look at three things about God this evening. First of all, that God is our creator. God created us. He created all things. And I know, as I said, I read a lot there. But I want to think about the fact that God is the creator. You find in many false religions and everything, I can't believe I was thumbing through the channels one night and came up on a channel, and they were telling about a great turtle and how that creation started. Have you ever heard that one about the great turtle? Isn't that weird? I mean, a great turtle created things. And I thought, well, I didn't come from a monkey. I didn't come from a turtle either. But anyway, we go on and we find that the Bible just says that God created. God created all things. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, down through verse 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. When you stop and think about it, all that we see, all that we can't see, God made. I get really just stricken. I get all stricken out in the evening. Go out in the night, in a clear night, and look up at the sky, and I'm just amazed. And as a elementary school, I can remember, I don't remember much past elementary school, but I can get up that far. But they told us that space went on for infinity. And I said, it can't go on for infinity. You go out there so far, you're going to hit dirt. You just got to. I mean, that's just the nature of things. And then I got saved, and I started reading the Bible, and I found out that God's infinite, that God's eternal, that God is, it created infinity. And now, with all the powerful telescopes and all, they tell us about all that's out there in the universe and all the galaxies that are beyond our galaxy. And guess what? God created that. Man didn't, and it didn't just happen. There wasn't a big bang and it happened. God created it. The Bible said there, as we read, if you followed along, He said that God created all things. It says there, and I read so much because it says in the morning and the evening, the first day. You know, God did it in 6 days. Amen. Just 6 days. You say, no, that was ages. No, it was 6 days. God created it. It said in the morning and the evening were the 6 days. God created all things. And then we find that as Creator, as God created all things, that our faith is built upon believing that God created. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 down through verse 3. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Have you ever tried to picture creation as you read Genesis chapter 1? Have you ever sat there and kind of thought as you read through that, and God created light and darkness and divided the night and the day, and trying to just imagine, how did that all take place? How did it happen? I don't know. I wasn't there. He said things that were made by things by God. And it says, and through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I just believe that God said it and it happens. You know, that's the way it is today. God just says it. If we'll believe the Word of God, if we'll trust in what God says it and it happens. If we stay with His Word, if we trust in the Word of God. We find that throughout the ages, that the psalmist was just as excited about creation as we could be. In Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, the psalmist could see God's hand in creation. He could see God working in all that was to be done, all that was done. Psalms chapter 96 and verse 3, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. I mentioned that, and I'm surprised that Brother Lorenz had seen that or heard that about the turtle. I was shocked. I hadn't heard it for years. But you think about these heathen that come up with some crazy ideas about creation. A turtle or an amoeba crawling around in a slime, and man came out of that. I like what Zig Ziglar said one time. He said, to believe the theory of evolution, or to believe that man came from a Big Bang theory or something, he said, you might as well believe that the astronauts that went to the moon got off the lunar lander, walked out into the moon, and reached down and picked up a Timex watch. Said, everything there that's in that Timex watch, all the elements that are needed to make a Timex watch were on the moon. The metal, the plastics, all that would be involved in making a Timex watch was there. He says, why wasn't there a watch there? Why didn't they have a watch? They say, well, you got to have all these different things. No, God said, let there be life, and there was life. God spoke, and life began. So God is our Creator. So as we think of God as Creator, we belong to Him because He created us. Because He made us, we belong to Him. We'll get into a little more in just a moment about that. God made us, and so we're His. And then you find in Genesis chapter 2 that God is a covenant maker. God made a covenant with man. In the creation, He said, you know, you multiply and do this and do that and created things to follow after their own order. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 down through verse 17, and it said, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Didn't leave man without anything to do. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The covenant that God made with man very early on, we read there in chapter 1, and it says that of all the trees of fruit you can eat, you can have an apple, you can have a grapefruit, you can have oranges and pears, and I don't know, you can name any kind of fruit tree you want to name, and just they were all over the garden. And God said, you can eat of all those, but right here is the tree of life. And I happen to believe it wasn't an apple. It was a pomegranate. Just my thought. Pomegranates leave a purple stain when you eat them. So when God saw Adam, He knew it. No, God didn't need to see no stain. But He said, here's this one tree. Now, all these other trees you can eat. You go out in the forest and you get in the forest and you look around and you can't see the trees for the forest because there's just so much forest. And God said, you can have everything but this one. If you got a little child, you know that you can set that child in the living room and say, you can eat candy out of the candy bowl. You can eat, go in the kitchen and have a candy bar, whatever you want. But don't eat that right there. You know what they'll eat, don't you? They'll eat whatever you tell them not to eat. Well, God said that to man, and of course, man disobeyed God. God made a covenant. He said, you can have everything but that tree. Thou shalt, he said, when thou the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. Says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After these days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. We find that God created man, placed him in the garden, made a covenant with him, and man broke that covenant. But we find that from the very beginning, that God has said that I will be their God, and they will be my people.
That's right.
The love of God goes beyond the bounds of anything that you and I could do. He said, I will be their people, and they will be, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16 in the New Testament. Wasn't just God's love for the nation of Israel. And I know that God has a special place in His heart that He's chosen that people. I was just thrilled when however you feel about politics, but the president said, we're going to move our embassy. I'll get it right in a minute. That's what, you get a hold, you start floating away. But he said, we're going to move our embassy to Israel, to Jerusalem. And I heard that there was four presidents ago that was voted on. And it was agreed that we would do that four presidents ago. Finally, we have somebody that'll do it. But they're God's chosen people. And I realize that as a nation, they're still have rejected Christ. As a nation, they haven't accepted Him. They're still God's chosen people. God's called them out from all over the land. They're going back to that land since 1948. That in itself is a testimony of God's what God's doing. But that's not part of the message tonight. That was extra. We find in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that God says, You obey me, you follow my word, you be obedient, and I'm going to bless you. He says, if you don't, I'm going to bring curses on you. You're going to be cursed in all the land. You read that, and it gets pretty scary when you read of some of the things that's going to happen. God said, I'm going to bring on you all the plagues of Egypt if you disobey me. So we see that the covenant is that we are to obey God. We're to follow Him. God is a covenant-making God. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest it, thou shalt surely die." The Bible says that if you sin, you're going to die. The wages of sin is death. That God's given us life. He's made it all possible that we could be saved. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But he said that the soul that sinneth it will die. God's covenant in the garden was you eat of all the trees in the garden. You do whatever you want. But you eat of this tree, you'll surely die. It's amazing to think about what happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned. They began immediately to die physically. I don't know. You can wonder about it. I don't know. Man was made to live eternally. If they had never sinned in the garden, would they ever have gotten old? Would they ever have aged? The Bible says no. Or I don't think they would have. I think they would have lived forever, but of course. And then there's that conjecture. How long were they in the garden before they sinned? You know, anybody ever ask that question? You know, how long were they in the garden before they sinned? You can hear all kinds of things, but I don't think they were there very long. Man doesn't take long to mess things up. But we find that God said, "The soul that sinneth it shall die." And so we find that God is our Creator and that He made a covenant and man broke that covenant. If He killed every one of us tonight, it'd be just. If God was to just send a plague on us tonight, sorry about your family, it sounds like they got a plague, but don't tell them. Do you have some? I can see it on my unclean. But anyway, he could put a plague on us, and it'd be just, because He said we've broken His covenant. But you know, I'm glad that the last thing, and I like to make it all, whether you alliterate it, see, covenant or Creator covenant. I couldn't find a C for the last one, Savior. You could call Him the converter. God converted us, converts us. But, you know, we find that He's God, our Savior. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We find that the first promise of the seed, the first promise of the Savior, came immediately after man sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, they began to die physically. They began to, the cells began to break down. They began to get older. Now, I'm sure it wasn't very long, but they began to get older. And immediately, God gave the promise of the Savior. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. We spend a lot of time around Christmas hearing that verse. And we don't stop and think about it. We see God as a babe in a manger. And you find that there are those who would promote, in the church, all you're going to see is a picture of Christ either as a babe in His mother's arms, helpless, needing her, or emaciated on the cross and weak and powerless. We don't serve a weak and powerless God. Amen. He's a Savior because He's not a babe in a manger. He was. He came that way. He was born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we'll read in just a moment. He did die on the cross. Let me tell you something. He didn't die in weakness. It was a powerful death. Jesus came and died on the cross so that you and I could be saved. Again, as a child, I did a lot of thinking as a child. Not very much after I got older, but I did a lot of thinking. I can remember waiting to go to church, out in the front yard, and I said, "Those mean, nasty Jews, they killed Jesus." I just heard that as a child. I guess that's where anti-Semitism comes from. But I had heard, and I was going around, how could they kill Jesus? Jesus is kind, and I had, you know, they'd been teaching us in Sunday school about Jesus. And I thought that the Jews had killed Him. And then you get a little older and you begin to read and you find out and you think, well, the Romans killed Him. No, you and I killed Jesus. He died for my sin and for your sin. On that cross, when He went to the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sin. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as to many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Jesus Christ is that seed. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when God said that the serpent would bruise his heel, but he would crush the serpent's head. Because of sin, because of that experience in the garden when man had been created innocent without any knowledge of sin, didn't have any desire for sin. I don't know why they sinned. Why did they sin? I don't know. They sinned because they did. And the serpent beguiled Eve, and she sinned. And the Bible says that because of that, that he would crush the serpent's head. Jesus would die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. John chapter 1, verse 11 says, he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are created, first of all, in the likeness of God. We are made in the image of God, and God's given us the free will and a choice, and man made that, took that free will and disobeyed, broke the covenant of God, and God gave us a Savior. And that promise then that the Savior would save our souls. He paid the price for our sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm thankful that God, who is the Creator, created us. God, who is the covenant maker, and we broke the covenant, created is the Savior that saves our soul. John chapter 5 and verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, you go back again to the garden, and you find Adam and Eve in the garden, and they've sinned, they've taken of that one tree, they've done the one thing that God said don't do, and God comes to fellowship with them, and they hide from God, they're away from God, they are the enemies of God. God who created them, God who gave them all that they are and all that they'd ever be, they became his enemy. And the Bible says that for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we have been saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But we find that God the Creator and man covenant, God, man broke the covenant with God. And because of sin, because of that broken covenant, the price for that sin was death. He said that if you partake of that tree, ye shall surely die. And we find that because of that promise, or because of that broken covenant, God had to make a way. He brought his Son into the world. And his Son was born sinless, without sin, went to the cross of Calvary. And on the cross of Calvary there he died, that you and I could be saved. We're going to stand for just a moment with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this evening and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, God made a way that we could be saved. He made it possible that we could know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If you've never asked him, if you've never come to Christ, you need to tonight. Brother Renz.
Right, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight as these are praying. Perhaps you need to join them tonight as the music begins to play. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Very simple message, but straightforward. We thank Brother Hoos for that. You know, it's people like us that need to remember that because God is the Creator, that there's a certain responsibility we have to him. That he is the initiator and he is the Lord and the giver of life. And because he is a covenant maker, you know, were it not for God, where would we be? And it's not just nations that he keeps covenant with, but it's with individuals as well. And I well remember in Genesis chapter number 17, when God makes a covenant with Abraham, And God basically puts Abraham to sleep and makes the covenant with himself because he knows man will fail. He knows that man will not keep it. And so God provides that opportunity for man to have a covenant, and that's what he's done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last one, of course, that God is the Savior. And he gave that promise of a Savior. And Genesis 3 is perhaps the worst chapter in the Bible as well as the best. Because in the midst of that scene of sin is a seeking God and is a God that provides the sacrifice for mankind. And we can't thank him enough. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't get so many different thoughts happen around this time of year. And I know that you're like me. We think of all of the different things that we need to do. And it's often that it is in the time of year when he should be most emphasized in Christians' lives. Sometimes Jesus gets lost in the hustle and the bustle. I encourage you tonight, take a message like this to heart. Remember that he is that creator, that covenant keeper, that he is that Savior. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for your word. We ask, Lord, you bless tonight. Thank you for Brother Hoos. Thank you, Lord, for the clear teaching of your word. And thank you for the encouragement tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.